With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X. We just dropped our Pride 24 collection. Queer founded, queer run, and creating size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. So you feel comfortable in your own skin. Visit TomboyX.com to shop.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit RightRug.com. That's RiteRug.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Good morning, peeps, and welcome to Woke AF Daily with me, your girl, Danielle Moody, recording from the home bunker. Folks, to say that this has been a challenging week would be an understatement. I think that everything is signaling to the fact that Donald Trump is probably more likely than not to be the 47th president of the United States, that there are signs, whether they're coming through our judiciary with Aileen Cannon deciding, you know what, we're not going to actually do this court case with the documents. You know, we have so many pretrial things to do, bullshit, that the Supreme Court is signaling that, you know, maybe a president should have immunity because, you know, how else did the other 44 presidents before this criminal ass one, 45, how did they all manage? So I think that what we are seeing and the reason why I get so just beside myself, for lack of a better word, is because every sign points to the end of America as we know it. Every sign points to the end of our democracy as we know it. We have a genocide that is raging on 7 months plus, close to 40,000 people dead, including 15,000 and counting children. Biden has decided to side with a homicidal maniac. I say homicidal over and over again just to, you know, run the point home. They have no desire in Israel, the government, to have a two-state solution, to stop this war, to come to any negotiation, because you can't negotiate with terrorists. And what they want is to wipe out the Palestinian people. And Joe Biden is, you know, right on their side. And so, like I have been saying all week long, which is that we are faced with Sophie's choice, right? This idea that whatever the choice that we make, it's going to be painful. And I think that that's where I want to really focus this morning on, which is that I think that we have been set up to believe that we only get to make good choices, that we only get to do the things that make us feel good. And what I am realizing and what I am grappling with myself is that that's not the case. Right, this time around, we don't get to feel good like we did in 2008 and 2012, right? The days of feeling good and excited about who we're electing, I think, are gone. I think that for the next several cycles, if we're able to make it out of this one and Donald Trump manages somehow not to become president, giving all of the cards that are stacked against Biden, all of the cards that he has fucking stacked against himself. If we're able to make it through this cycle, I think that the next several are going to be a lot like this last one, meaning that we're not going to love the candidates. But what we need to make sure, and I think that the most important thing to understand, is whether or not they respect the Constitution of the United States, whether or not they are going to uphold democracy, and where they stand on issues of the social safety net and entitlements, where they stand on the environment, on education, on reproductive rights and bodily autonomy, on LGBTQ equality, on racial justice, and really drill those things down. But are we going to fall in love? No, we're not. And I think that where I am with the decision at hand in the next couple of months is that I don't like Biden. I don't. I think that I have completely soured on him, given his staunch support for Israel and the fact that they are going to erase Palestinian people, their homeland, from the map. And America is going to be complicit in that. And 5 and 10 years from now, when we look back at what was caused, I think that Biden's entire legacy, if in fact we have history at that time, will be tarnished beyond measure. I think that his decision to put Israel above everything else has made me really understand the binds and the power of white supremacy. And that, you know, you can do a little bit of good, but that doesn't erase a whole lot of bad. So you can, you know, decide to reschedule marijuana. You can decide to, you know, reduce student loan debt. You can decide to work on climate change and infrastructure issues. But if at the end of the day, your democracy and your understanding of equality and justice stops at the borders of the United States, then I don't want to fuck with you. Like, that's where I am, right? Knowing that I am going to vote for Joe Biden because a vote for Donald Trump would be a vote to put myself in a camp, would be a vote for my own extermination and those that I love and the communities that I care about and a part of and have been fighting for my entire professional career. But am I happy about that decision? Am I going to gleefully wear a t-shirt, put up a sign, and put my fist in the air for Joe Biden? Absolutely fucking not. I will do what needs to be done. And I hope that a lot of people out there will do the same, will hold their nose, will, you know, wash it down with some Listerine afterwards. And we can deal with and fight and push, you know, following that election. But right now, I'm not going to be excited about it, and no one's going to make me feel excited about it, but I'm going to do what needs to be done. And I think that that's where all of us need to get to, that sometimes we're not making choices that we feel great about, that we're jumping up and down about, that we're writing home about. Sometimes the choices that we make are just tough and they suck. And that is, I guess, what it means to adult in 2024 or in a climate that doesn't produce a bevy of politicians for you to choose from, and the choices are really slim. Coming up next, my conversation with our friend, our in-house doctor, Dr. Jonathan Metzl. We're talking about an article that he has out now about what happens to Israel if they adopt the gun laws and policies that we have in this country. It's a difficult conversation because we're in a difficult space this week, folks. But, you know, we are going to continue to push through because that's what we do. We take breaks so that we don't have breakdowns. We turn off the news. We turn into ourselves and into those that we care about. And we just keep on keeping on. Some weeks are better than others. This week just ain't it for me. Coming up next, our friend Jonathan Metzl.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit TomboyX.com.
Folks, you know that whenever we have the chance to speak with our in-house doctor, Dr. Jonathan Metzl, we are always grateful. And today we are digging into an article that Jonathan did in Zocalo Public Square, an essay entitled, What Could American-Style Gun Culture Do to Israel? Jonathan, give us the high-level points of how Israel's gun control has been different, very different from the United States, and why there is a shift that has happened.
Well, let me first acknowledge that we're recording this on a really hard day. There's a lot of despair in the area right now. I've actually been on the phone pretty much all night with people who saw a glimmer of hope, and now it feels like we're deep in this moment, even worse than ever, for a lot of people who were there. And so before I say that, and I'm going to answer that question, I just want to say, I've always thought this, but I hope, God damn it, we've hit the bottom right now. And that the next time we talk by the next week, this moment of what I feel like is strategic disaster personally, and moral disaster, it has turned into a change of direction. So let me just first say that, and then I'll talk about the article. But we're recording this on a really, really hard moment. And having been on the phone with a lot of people, I know that a lot of people kind of share that sentiment. Now for me, I've been collaborating with public health colleagues, as you know, for well over a decade now. I've worked with Physicians for Human Rights Israel-Palestine for, we were looking back the other day, like 15 years now or something like that. And so done a lot of work on violence reduction, mostly in southern Israel and the West Bank. And it was, before this current Netanyahu government, a kind of vibrant organization that combined Israeli and Israeli-Palestinian doctors, social workers, nurses, other healthcare providers to try to limit gun reform. And the irony for me was, before this current government, Israel was a model of, you know, Americans like me went to Israel. We would have conferences there to see, like, why is there so little gun death, civilian gun death? In a way. And so there's no Second Amendment in Israel. There were really, really tight laws, assault weapons bans, all these kinds of things. And so Israeli public health was a model for gun reform before this government. And then this right-wing government took over, and immediately they started pulling out the NRA playbook. They started giving out guns mostly to settlers in the West Bank, but also in urban areas to form these crazy police squads. So they adopted the NRA playbook. And the essay was basically what happens to the moral soul of a country when you start arming mostly right-wing people. And what we see, kind of what I argue in the piece, is that it's actually harder to make peace when you have an armed bunch of right-wing zealots on your side. And so part of what we're seeing globally is a reflection of the internal politics of Israel. So it was definitely not an easy piece to write. I've spent the past 6 months interviewing tons and tons and tons of people on all sides of this. But I do think that there is an issue which doesn't seem urgent today, but it is a bigger issue that I think will need to be addressed about the internal politics of Israel and how the Netanyahu has marginalized public health and the left in ways that I think are really disastrous also.
So one of the things that you say, that you write in here, and I want to read a piece of it for the listeners, is that effective gun policy reinforced social cohesion. While Americans carry guns based on individualized notions of self-protection, Israelis considered gun ownership a shared responsibility. Can you speak to that a bit about the difference in the individualization that we have here of, let's say, the Castle Doctrine and stand your ground and this individualized idea of protecting myself and my property versus what was a shared responsibility in Israel?
So I actually, the piece ends in the Castle Doctrine for that exact reason. The Castle Doctrine made absolutely no sense in the Middle East context because nobody had guns. The narrative of why people had guns was to protect their nation. They got their guns because of military training, but there was no such thing as like individual civilians walking around carrying guns because they might get robbed or something like that. That's not part of the ethos. And so gun training for people was part of this exercise of like, we're defending our country. So it was a very plural narrative, but in terms of the internal politics of Israel, the idea was basically we're all looking out for each other and we don't need guns because we have institutions, the police and other things that protect us. And so there's no need for guns in a civilian context. And there were no laws that let people have guns in civilian context for the most part. Now, as I write in the piece, that's not totally true. There were gun markets in Israeli-Palestinian towns and there were a lot of guns that were stolen from the military and sold there and things like that. But for the most part, guns were seen, the narrative was a plural narrative. It wasn't an individual narrative. There's no individual right to bear arms or anything like that. They didn't have that. And it led to this sense of, the two most powerful stories for me and why I wrote the piece, the first was, I think it was like 2015, I was speaking at a conference there, and the NRA had sent a delegation of NRA people to come over and try to spur, because they thought Israel was a great gun market. And so they sent over all these NRA people, donors, and they toured around and they started touting American style gun laws, carry a gun, you don't know, Castle Doctrine, all this stuff. And they were almost effectively kind of laughed out of town. This conference I was at had a lot of the leading public health and doctors, and they were like, man, you Americans are crazy. Like, we don't need guns in civilian life at all. And so the NRA came over totally not understanding the Israeli context. And it was so foreign. Like, of course, we don't need this. You guys are, they called it American mishugas, like American craziness. And another instance was there was the Parkland mass shooting here. And Mike Huckabee just happened to be in Israel at the time visiting. And he tweeted when he was there, I'm in Israel and there's no mass shootings here because everybody has a gun. And people, there's a hyperlink in my piece, one of the first few paragraphs, people pounced on him and they were like, dude, this isn't the US at all. We don't have your crazy Second Amendment. We don't have mass shootings here because we have responsible gun laws. And so every time somebody would try to make this argument that we're the US, that Israel was, was like the US, the whole place and I invite people to like click on that link, because it's really interesting the responses. Everybody's like, we don't have your insanity here. And then the Netanyahu government got elected, and then they started handing out guns and overturning all the gun laws and stuff like that. And so part of the argument for me, which is tied to my work in my book also, is that loose gun laws are a way to destabilize functioning democracies. The minute Netanyahu started arming his supporters, there was a threat to liberals, who then thought, maybe we need guns also. And so you end up dividing a country and rupturing these national narratives.
And I think the other piece of this that is, you know, that can't be overlooked is, you know, I'm in the midst, I was telling Andrew, my producer, that I'm behind the times because I am in the midst of reading The Shock Doctrine right now by Naomi Klein, and understanding that, you know, when you have moments of catastrophe, whether it be man-made or natural catastrophe, or exacerbated natural catastrophe, which is what is happening with climate change, you have very eager politicians that want to use those moments in order to push through an agenda. And similarly with 9/11 in the United States, and how we ended up ushering in the Patriot Act, which gave away our freedom and allowed for the United States to overtly begin to surveil American people for our own safety. Netanyahu has used October 7th, this devastating day in Israeli history, to push through gun laws. Can you speak to that and Ben-Gavir and like this whole idea of kind of using this horrible moment, using the fear that then was brought up in this horrible moment to then push through a very radicalized gun agenda?
I mean, it's not just a gun agenda. It's the gun agenda is a part of a much bigger agenda. I just would say, I mean, if people want to read one Israeli source on this, and a lot of people don't, I get that, but Haaretz is a pretty good reflection of the views of a lot of people on the Israeli left who, since this election, really have been constantly under attack, constantly protesting. I mean, they've got a year head start on everybody in terms of millions of people being out in the street before October. They were protesting the judicial reform, the quote-unquote reform, the takeover of the judiciary, that the minute Netanyahu basically was out of office, disgraced, facing possible jail time for crimes. And then he pulled together a coalition of people who themselves would never have gotten into the coalition, like totally radical people who by themselves were not going to be part of any other coalition, but they had a lot to gain by being, he gave basically people power who were totally, totally radical on the right. And part of the deal was that then when they got in power, they could do all this radical stuff to basically do the Israeli version of own the libs. And so they started taking over the judiciary, limiting the power of the Supreme Court, which had been a moderating force in Israel against a lot of the extremism, doing a lot of just everyday stuff, like all these crazy religious laws that nobody really thought would ever happen. You know, you can't have your place open on Saturday, and girls can't stand with boys in public, like all this stuff that were totally, totally the radical fringe. But because he had mobilized this coalition, that became the power structure. And part of the issue that I think is important to recognize is that it's not like there's a moral voice of like, I'm not going to stand for this, because everybody in that coalition, the minute that coalition falls, they are not only not in power, they're probably criminally liable for some of the things that are happening now. And so in a way, the government potentially is not going to fall by itself. It's very hard to fracture this coalition because it's like a confederation of, I was calling it before a confederation of dunces, but I would use a different word right now. And so the issue is this coalition is like all these people who are clinging to power, and the minute that topples, they are all in big trouble. So it's funny because like I used to admire a a coalition system. It's not our two-party system, mm-hmm. but you can see how in the age of fascism, that system can be hijacked also. That's what we're seeing in Israel, that in a way that system can be hijacked against the will of the people also. And so I know there's tons of just profound rage, and rightfully so right now. But I just want to highlight that a lot of the people across Israel are also in the streets protesting because they've been trying to topple this government before October. And then October gave this moment of like, I mean, that's kind of what I show in the piece, is that the power of emergency authority is really powerful, and it gives the right to circumvent all of these civil liberties. And so, not ironically, it's not just about guns. People at these protests are being surveilled. There's all this government surveillance. They're being targeted. I have a lot of links in the piece to a lot of sources that talk about that as well. And so in a way, I wrote this piece in part to give rise to the Israeli protest movement that has been there before, but also kind of as a warning, because the reflection of what people in the Middle East have faced and what we could potentially be facing, it's a playbook that is one that I find really terrifying, which is that a lot of the institutions and structures, like Israel's gun laws, as an example, that we've assumed are eternal, can be hacked by this playbook.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency, where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch, so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X. We just dropped our Pride 24 collection. Queer founded, queer run, and creating size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. So you feel comfortable in your own skin. Visit TomboyX.com to shop.
You know, I know that we only have a couple of minutes left, but I do want to ask you this last question, which is that you look at Israeli government, you look at coalition government, you look like a multi-party system, you look at our two-party system. And it seems to me, Jonathan, that it doesn't matter what kind of system you have, that it can be infiltrated by right-wing fascists. And so as the people of Israel are out in the streets, as I saw before I came on, have been protesting, what voice do they have right now to combat this other than going into the street? But there is no change.
I mean, we're seeing the limits of protest. I guess the only answer that I can think of right now is that there were like six, I think, Israeli elections that were stalemates. It was a long, drawn-out process. And the same strategy had been deployed on them, which is being deployed on us right now, which is this Cambridge Analytica style messaging that your vote doesn't matter, everything's just going to be stuck forever, nothing matters. And so this final election that got this coalition into power, liberals, they don't have the same categories as we do. So liberals kind of mean something different. But the left voted roughly the same as they always had. But the right saw the fracture of the left as an opportunity to seize power and quote unquote on the libs. And so they voted in record numbers. They behind the scenes had been mobilizing all of this voter drive and stuff like that. And so the left voted about 60% roughly, but the right voted like 73%, which had never happened before, because they saw this as a chance to once and for all make Israel a much more right-wing religious state. And the day after that election, it was like kind of like our version of Trump. People were in shock. They were in total shock, and they're like, oh my God, this, my life is over. I know a lot of friends of mine moved out of the country. The ones who stayed, I think, were right about what was going to happen to their civil liberties. And so at the point then of being out of power, their best response, I mean, people's grandmothers have been in the street every single day. People quit their jobs to protest. People have been stopping traffic and lighting fires. And I guess the question is, what could they have done different? In retrospect, they could have voted more than their opponents before. I think being out of power is terrifying given the forces you can mobilize when they're in power now. And I say that thinking of us also.
Foreshadowing.
With these shitty ass choices we have right now. Mm-hmm. But I'll just say that thinking of us also, it's kind of like when I interview people and I say, what can you do different? And they tell me, I wish I could go back to the day before the election and have 20 people I know, because it seemed like I had no choice. But actually, if you want no choice, that's what I actually have right now. So
I wish we could end on a happier note, but no, we're just gonna end there today.
One of these days. I mean, let's say really quickly that I think at some point in the future, you and I were talking about doing a reading group.
Yes. Okay. Sorry, because I'm watching the clock. So, folks, every week, you know, for God, the last 3 or 4 years, Jonathan and I have been in conversation on Woke AF, and Jonathan brought up an idea that I think is a really great one, which is to do a reading group. Where we would cover particular articles, whether Jonathan wrote them or things that have crossed our paths that we're interested in discussing. And so we're going to start doing that next week. There are a couple of podcast interviews and things. And so I think, Jonathan, we should probably like share them out on social.
Yes.
before we record. So if you're not following myself or Jonathan at this point, you should. And then we'll link in the show description, we'll link to the articles that we were discussing on that day.
And you know, we can try it like once a month or something, see how it goes, and then
yeah,
take it from there. But yeah.
But we thought it would be great because we send each other articles all week long. So we want to include you all in that as well. As always, Jonathan, thank you. Stay hopeful. Stay sane.
I'm going to the airport now for our graduation, so I hope I get energy from community.
Travel safe. That is it for me today, dear friends, on Woke AF, as always. Power to the people, and to all the people power. Get woke and stay woke as fuck.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency, where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X. We just dropped our Pride 24 collection. Queer founded, queer run, and creating size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. So you feel comfortable in your own skin. Visit TomboyX.com to shop.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit RightRug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.